Let me call the October 2nd, 2019 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order, please. Let the record show that Judy and Sophie and I are here, so there is a quorum, so we can proceed. In case you haven't noticed it, on consent item F, the budgetary amount has been revised, so if you have that in your packet, particularly there is something like in the $200,000 range, and it's gone down to $190,000, so you should know that. So get a copy of that on the table before we begin. There are no speaker cards from the public, so we'll move right to the unions. Do you have any union?
Yeah.
Is it you, Rudy?
Yeah.
All right, lucky us.
Oh. Is he the only one who's talking?
What?
Is he the only one who's talking for
yes,
the union?
Yes, he's the only one. You're the only union member here, right?
Already on
the
board. It works?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, good evening. My name is Rudy Tapia, and I am an SEIU 1021 Community Services Officer. Thank you for holding the spot for the union. We appreciate the opportunity to share the members' concerns with you here. At last month's meeting, we requested that librarian vacancies be put on the agenda, as there are concerns about the high vacancy rate and impacts to public services and programming. The union is aware that 4 new librarians were recently hired. This is good news, but since we last spoke here, 3 librarians have resigned or given notice of resignation. This leaves us with 5 vacant librarian positions, all in the adult services division, which only has 10 librarian positions total. Unfortunately, with recent attrition, we are losing decades of institutional history and experience, and this will impact public service. We've already seen impacts as staff from various other library divisions are being called on to cover public service desk hours without receiving location-specific training. The union has several suggestions that we hope will help mitigate these issues and prevent them from recurring in the future. First, we suggest that formal location-specific training be given to all new hires, as well as to all staff who are currently being asked to fill in without adequate training. Second, we suggest that recruitments happen concurrently rather than one at a time. Third, we suggest that eligibility lists be updated regularly, even when there are no current vacancies. We believe these things will help prevent disruption in our members' ability to provide excellent public service. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hi,
Sophie has a question.
Would you by any chance have a written copy of that?
Yeah, you can have this one.
Okay. You guys make a copies of this?
Can you give me a copy of that tomorrow?
Yeah,
so I can.
Okay. So we all can have a copy.
I can email it to everyone.
Oh,
yeah, that would be
thank
good.
You.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny.
Appreciate it.
Good. Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you.
Comments from the Board of Library Trustees? Sophie, do you have anything tonight?
Yes, I guess I just wanted to. I wanted to say that I'm feeling some urgency about us moving forward on the director search. And I thought that we might talk about having that and update that on that being an item on our agendas, every agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we really need to have a timeline, and there's been too much of a time elapsed between the time that we said we were going to get going and where we're at. So I don't know how we as a board can help to accelerate the timeline, but I think it would be important for us to do that. And I think we need some accountability to the timeline.
I was away when the agenda planned, and Peter and I have talked about putting that on the standing agenda, I think, for every meeting as well. So that portion is taken care of, and I think the urgency is felt, so. Thank you.
Well, except that we talked about it, I think I made that request 4 meetings ago, so. I just, this is really important. It is the most important thing that we're doing for the library, and we need everything related to it to move forward as requested. So when this board makes the decision, I don't think we should have to wait 5 months for the implementation. So I just really want to emphasize that we need some deliverables at our next meeting. And I'm more than happy to help.
Thank you. Judy?
I have 3 things. First of all, would you take one and pass?
Yes.
Email. What I'm asking to pass out has to do with, again, one of our authors from the author's dinner this past February, Mrs. Soska, who wrote the book, Sign My Name to Freedom. And she's also the owner of Reed's Record Shop. Thank you. And Reed's Record Shop is going out of business, and it's here in South Berkeley on Sacramento Street. But I lift this up because the article that I'm sharing with you, she had a stroke, and I think she's the oldest living active park ranger in the nation, if I'm not mistaken. And she had a stroke, I think it's been a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago now, and she's in rehab. So I wanted to lift her up, as well as encourage all of you to encourage your friends, as many as possible, to please stop by Reed's Records because they're going out of business. I think the last day is October 12th, and I believe everything is 20% off, perhaps more. So please give them that support, because that's her legacy. She and her husband founded Reed's Record Shop many years ago. So that's one thing. The second thing, I too share Sophie's concerns around, and I've mentioned this several times, that we follow up and follow through with the recommendations from the Moss Adams report as a board. I think it's of no value for us to have gone through the process, have recommendations, and then not follow through on them. So I ask for that to be on the agenda for the last 2 or 3 meetings as well. So we need to move forward on that, if at all possible. And the last thing I'd like to mention has to do with our administration and staff. I welcome your concern as staff. I also appreciate and value the process. Hiring staff is not quick and easy. That's one. Two, from the time we had our last board meeting, you've had subsequent resignations. So you can't expect when people resign that they're going to immediately be replaced. That's just unrealistic. And part of what I think all administrations, and particularly our staff, Danielle, and I know our human resources department with the city, we want to make good hires. And good hires take time, process, and I appreciate your training and the like. But let's be respectful of the process, and let's, if we have some concerns, let's take them directly to management and find out what's happening. Because if we have resignations within a month, you can't expect people within a month to post something the next day and hire someone in 2 weeks. That's just totally unrealistic. So I say that because sometimes we all need reminders. And I would imagine that Danielle and Elliot at this point have a lot on their plates. Hiring folks, moss headers, follow-up, things that occur in addition to an executive search. That's a lot going on. So I guess what I'm saying is we all need to be patient with each other sometimes. So I just want to say that it's not easy managing. And it's not easy being a staff. But we do need to be patient with each other, understand, and give each other some slack and understanding that no job is easy. Okay? But we want to hire good people so they'll stay and help us move forward in the best possible way. Okay?
And we're looking forward to Daniel's report tonight.
Yeah.
All right, moving along to the consent calendar. Anybody want to move anything off of the consent calendar?
Yes, we just talked consent. What about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
No, let's do the consent.
Okay, that's fine. I move that we approve the consent calendar with the amendment already noted for item F.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Moving on to action calendar, discussion and nominations for the selection of board president and vice president.
Madam Chair, I would appreciate, and I think it would behoove us to delay this until the next board meeting when we have full board. And we do that with all of us present.
Okay.
So I would respectfully request that we move this item for our next meeting.
So, agreement?
Complete.
Absolutely. It is so moved and moved on to the next.
So we continue it?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will second that.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Elliot, that brings us to the director's report.
I want to focus on a couple elements of the director's report.
I have a terrible cold.
Okay, I will speak up. Absolutely, I can do that.
I apologize.
I want to emphasize the re-implementation of Link Plus.
Mm-hmm.
As in the cards. This is something that we've received expected concerns about. The Jay and Alicia, who are here, have done a lot of work over the last month ensuring that the data is going to work and that the system is going to work. We're feeling very confident, and we're going to be providing training to staff prior to the implementation so that it works, and we're also working on a communications plan to ensure that people know how to use these bugs in the system. Secondly, and I just want to thank all the staff who are working on that, it's really important, and it's hard work. Secondly, I want to focus upon the fact that, and I don't know if you got to the very end, there's a City of Berkeley Building Energy Savings Ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit complicated, but basically you can get a free assessment. And this is a facility that costs a good deal of money to heat, to cool, and to heat the power. We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars a month. So we're really excited about the opportunity for that assessment to occur. But what it does include is the possibility of what's called on-bill financing, which is a zero-interest loan that allows us to make pre-approved energy efficiency improvements and then pay it off via the bill.
Mm-hmm.
No interest.
Oh.
So it is an opportunity to use the savings that are done through the whatever recommendations to pay for the actual thing that creates.
And are there specific things you're looking at?
We will allow the experts to do that.
So
there's
an
agency that is hired. This is something that has been done in other city departments as well as all throughout the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to take advantage of this when we can with that monster of a building. So hopefully we will get that assessment completed and a report soon. And I can share out whether or not it sounds like we want to move forward. I think that will have to be a board item.
Mm-hmm.
To take a loan. I have to check with the city attorney's office to issue.
Any questions, Ellen, about this report? Item number four, information reports, current dates.
Is it all right if I sit here? Everybody knows me, I'm Danielle, I'm the associate HR analyst for the library. I'm very pleased to be presenting to you today regarding recruitment and vacancies at the library. This is a very important topic for the library. It's come up in this meeting several times, so I'm happy to convey a lot of important information for you here and answer any questions that you might have. So, an overview of what I'm going to talk about today. I want to start off by explaining to you what the role of the associate HR analyst is at the library, and then sort of take you through a roadmap of where we have come from with vacancies, at least from the previous fiscal year, where we are currently with vacancies, and what we project for the future with filling these vacancies. So let's talk about the role of the human resources analyst. The library is very unique in that it's the only department in the city that has a dedicated HR analyst. In my role, I service 150 FTEs in 5 different locations. And of course, as already has been mentioned in the hiring process for Berkeley Public Library and all of the city, we're looking for the best and the brightest. And in order to do that, we have to have certain outreach strategies and really try to move recruitments forward in a planned and progressive way. So I hope you can see this. Primary duties for my role as analyst here, as far as recruitment, hiring, and outreach, that takes up about 30% of my job responsibilities and the time that I spend throughout the days, the weeks, the months, the years. And 70% is everything else. I've broken down a little bit of everything else that encompasses this role, and everything, of course, is a priority, including recruitments, but I haven't listed these in any order of importance. They're all very important. EEO investigations, FMLA leave administration, which is very important for our staff and employees to be able to take care of themselves and their family members, employee relations, labor relations, working with the unions, coming to meeting of the minds on different issues with the union. Also part of my role is coaching, staff development, and volunteer coordination. Takes up a little bit of my time. And then the last two items are leadership roles and training within the library and other duties as assigned as things come up. So this gives you an idea of where the recruitments fit in into the day-to-day for this role. So, getting over a cold. Let's talk about how vacancies are created and opportunities for promotion. So as I think was mentioned earlier, vacancies and recruitment are really a moving target. We're never going to have zero vacancies. If you do a little bit of research, you find that even in most healthy organizations, there's anywhere between, depending on the industry, anywhere between like 15 and 30% of the work of the positions are vacant at any time. And that doesn't mean the organization is unhealthy. It could be a reflection of the market at the time, if there's a recession or if the market is booming. And so that's not what this presentation is about, but in our case, vacancies are created for a number of reasons. In the last month, we've had folks retire, we've had people leave for other opportunities, we've had promotions, we've promoted people, and that creates new vacancies. As we like to say, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, but it's very important for employees and staff here to have promotional opportunities for their career development. So we want to make sure that's happening as well. Can I go back? I had wanted to make this chart bigger. So this slide talks about an overview of recruitment and hiring. And this is kind of the meat of this presentation. Let's focus on the chart on the left. It focuses on the vacancies we filled since 2019. And what you're looking at is new hires and promotions for fiscal year 2017 through 2020. And there's a lot of good information in this chart, because what this chart will tell you is in 2017, we had a fully dedicated associate HR analyst, and they were cranking out recruitments. You can see the number 25. Recruitments for that fiscal year, so that's July 1st, 2016 to June 30th, 2017. And then 2018, you can see there weren't as many promotions that we
And that's really reflecting a transition time. We lost the HR analyst. There was a lull in hiring because there was no one in that role to carry out those recruitments. I do remember doing those four recruitments when I started in January 2018. And as things cranked up and warmed up, I got suited to the role. Into fiscal year 2019, we ramped up the recruitments again. And we've just entered fiscal year 2020. So, you know, these reflect the four new library ones that we are going to be bringing on October 7th and 28th, and then we started very recently. So this is what I'm hoping you'll gather from this chart, is that back since 2009 program, we're ramping back up with recruitments. And in this case, we're going to have a bit of backlog in vacancy, so we're catching up a bit. But try to keep momentum moving forward. So the next part of the slide I want you to focus on is the positions that are currently open.
These are listed, all vacancies and recruitments are priority, and we strategically decide how we're going to move forward with recruitments based on the operational needs of the organization at the time. Because recruitments are a moving target, this is not set in stone that we're going to be doing these in top order from top down. However, the three blues, senior building, maintenance supervisor, library assistant, librarian, are three recruitments that we're currently doing simultaneously at this time. The numbers in parentheses will show you the vacancies we have throughout the library system for those positions. So as you can see, I think, what's the exact number? Oh, it was 25? 28 current vacancies. I thought it was 26, but 28 current vacancies. And that number could change. We could have more folks retire, but at the same time, we're trying to fill these vacancies. And how quickly and nimbly we're able to do that depends on a lot of factors. One of the main factors is whether there's an existing eligible list or whether we have to start an entirely new recruitment. For example, the library one, we promulgated that eligible list, I think, in May of this year. Eligible list lasts for about 1 year. So we have some new vacancies that came up in library one. Potentially, we could pull from that eligible list. And what that would take is pulling names from the eligible list. Everybody on that list is reachable. And we schedule interviews. And we could streamline that process from when we schedule those interviews to when we actually hire and bring that person on board. That's streamlined. When there's no eligible list, we start an entire new recruitment. And I think when Latanya gave her presentation, she gave sort of a bit of a timeline where that could take anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, and depending on if there's mitigating other factors that contribute to extending that timeline. And it's not me as the sole decider, obviously, about when these recruitments take place. It's a team effort. It's an effort with Elliot as far as carrying out and designing the recruitments, the exam plans. That's a team effort with my subject matter experts, who are the library services managers here. And sometimes if we're doing an even larger recruitment, like we did supervising librarian last year, we brought in an outside panel of subject matter experts. And that takes scheduling, that takes, you know, being kind to others and trading, you know, also going to their panels so they can, you know, return in kind to us. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and we try to be responsive and act nimbly with the focus of always moving the recruitments forward and doing what's best for the organization. Sometimes things don't work out as we plan. We have some excellent candidates. They're excellent. Everybody wants them. So we're competing with other jurisdictions for these candidates, and sometimes our offers are declined when we think it's going to work out. So, you know, back to the drawing board. And that's just a factor of this entire process. It's I find it, this is probably one of the most fun parts of my job. I love making offers and hiring people. So I find it very fun and collaborative working with different people to make this happen and bring people on board who are going to move the library towards its mission and vision, serving the community in the best way possible. So this is the meat of what I wanted to share with you. And that concludes my presentation. I am open for questions. Elliot, I don't know if I skimmed over anything that we had talked about. But
well, the only thing that comes to my mind is that in 2017, when we had like 24, 25, I think that's when we did the library age classification.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ages are the...
It's a two-year term.
Okay, yeah, you can just describe it, so we have to read.
Yeah, so the library pages are technically an intermittent position that is limited to a two-year term. It's like a project, two-year project term. So they turn out after 2 years, which means we have to have a consistent recruitment to make sure we're replenishing that, because the library pages, it's entry-level position, but the branches do really rely on them to help keep the materials moved and organized, and they're an integral part of this whole system that works well together.
And you currently have what, three?
Three. We did hire last year. We did a batch of hiring for library pages about 18 months ago, perhaps, but you know, Berkeley Public Library is a great place to learn, and we have a lot of people who leave for other opportunities, whether it be at Oakland or wherever they end up going. And that's a good thing for career development, whether it's here or somewhere else, but maybe they'll come back.
Danielle, you said that there, you do have lists now for the librarian.
We do have a list. It's.
Do we have lists for any of the others of these?
So the senior building maintenance supervisor, we do have a list, and this is a citywide classification, mm-hmm. So it's not, the library is working in collaboration with city HR to move this forward. They've been working very diligently, and I feel like they've expedited this. We're working with Parks and Rec on recruitment. At this time, I know there is an existing eligible list, but I would have to check in on where we are in that recruitment. But we do have an eligible list.
But for all of the others, we need to create lists?
Yes.
Well, the library is, we did a promotional.
Oh, sorry, Elliot. We started a new recruitment for the library assistant. That we put out the announcement, the job announcement. It was open for 2 weeks. It was it's promotional only, meaning that only career City of Berkeley employees may apply to it. So that recruitment, the job announcement closed. So now we have all the applications that are going to be under review, and then we'll be moving forward with the exam process from there to be able to, the ultimate goal is to establish the eligible list to be able to hire from that list.
And the HR analyst is citywide?
Yes, the assistant HR analyst, which would be the role supporting my position at the library, specifically sits in city HR. Like I said, the library is the only department that has a dedicated HR analyst.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in discussion with city HR about their timeline for opening that recruitment, establishing an eligible list. And it's not unusual to classifications go in series. So you have entry level. They can be, the series can be deep or shallow. The HR analyst series is quite deep, and so they're hiring at the top of the, they're starting from the top down, hiring from the more senior, they're hiring the more senior levels first, because what typically happens is if you're promoting folks, they come up from the lower levels to fill those positions, and then you start hiring from the, you start recruitments for the lower positions, because it just makes logical sense to do it that way, to give people opportunities for advancement. And structurally for the organization. So that's kind of the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I missed it, but how many promotions have we had? And
I have to pull that chart back.
And on average, how long does it, when somebody moves up, then does that give a promotional opportunity for existing staff to fill that new vacancy for the person who's been promoted?
That's a really good question.
That's
a really good question, and it depends. I don't want to get into too much detail, but it depends. There's MOU language that talks about when we make an opportunity promotional, when we hire from an eligible list, when we start over, scrap an eligible list. So it all depends, and it's a conversation to be had depending on what the needs of the organization are at that time, if it makes sense to make it promotional only, or if you want to open it up to the general public. So it's a hard question to answer generally.
Now my second question has to do with the issue that was brought up earlier. I think it's valuable to have cross-training for staff. That's an industry standard for something. In terms of
when staff have to go to another site, I think was brought up,
mm-hmm.
the cross-training. When they go to another site, when staff goes to another site, they're still functioning in that position's capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So when you talk about cross-training for another site, what are we talking about? Where things are? Because the function of the position is the same. However, when you talk about cross-training for another site, then my concern is, so what do they need cross-training in? If it's the same position, you're functioning the same, what's different? What do they need training in?
I'll open it up.
This was not something that we brought up. Something that Rudy brought up. And in most cases, the work is the same work. We use the same technology. It may be the location of certain things. It may, I can only guess what he was referring to.
Okay. All right. So, okay, because I'm looking at two things. Cross-training, staff development, and orientation. When we bring on new staff,
mm-hmm.
orientation. What is the average time frame of orientation?
I'm going to
refer to my manager. I take some time on what onboarding really looks like. I call it onboarding orientation.
Talk up a little bit. I'm sorry.
So what we're doing basically is we're doing a pretty thorough job of what I feel like is a thorough job as we had so far to bring new staff through all the different departments and speaking to the different ways we find success at all these branches for the tasks of the people that are coming through. So when we had our new supervisors come through, they came here. They went and observed programming in Claremont. They talked to, so it was supervising librarian. They got to speak to other supervisors that are already scheduling and talking to them about how they manage success and they for all the different units, basically. And they got to understand how delivery works and how the collection services work. So we're doing that again. It's kind of like a sampling of everything that's going on so they can get the big picture. And they also have access to other people to speak to the different tasks that they're going to be confronted with, and then also strategies that they can use for themselves or adapt. So the onboarding is really meant to give a real thorough picture of what it's like to work at Berkeley Public Library, and also how to succeed here. So that takes about 2 weeks. Right now we're using about 2 weeks of the new person staff time. We are working with the different managers for the scheduling. And in this case, for this cohort, we have delayed the onboarding so that they can all experience the onboarding together and making connections and really having that connective experience so that they can also know they can rely on each other. If they have a newbie experience, they want to be like, hey, what'd you do about this? I don't necessarily know. And
so does that mean that the of the four librarians are starting at different times? So you're going to wait until the last of the four comes on board and then do the training?
In this particular case, because we do have a sizable group, we're going to split it into two. So we're going to have two more cohorts, and we have a start date for the first one, and I believe we have a second one, but I'm just focusing on this next one that's coming up.
And last question.
Sure.
What is the probationary period? 1 month, 3 months, 90 days?
It depends on
classification. Okay.
Okay.
Sophie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I appreciate the report. Unfortunately, it was only about half of what I might have been doing. So, I don't know if you have this information tonight, or perhaps we can have it another time, next time. So, 28 positions open, 150 employees approximately. So that's about a sixth of the positions that are unfilled right now. That's about 16.5%, 17%. I'd like to know how that compares to the city of Berkeley as a whole, how it compares to other library systems, Oakland, San Francisco, etc. How are we doing better? Is it just a really hard labor market? I like to situate this. I need some benchmarks to really understand that. Because when you said that he was 15 to 30% was typical, that sounded basic to me. Like, I can't believe organizations typically are short 30% of their workforce. So I'm going to finish.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
So I guess that sounds incredibly stressful to me. So it sounds stressful for the organization as a whole, and it sounds really stressful for the people who have to fill in for that 15 to 30% vacancy, and in this case, 16-17%. I also think it would be interesting to see how that falls across departments, because if you have, I think I was able to garner from the numbers that 50% of librarian positions are open despite recent hires. And that sounds like sort of an unfortunate series of events there where we have agencies, well, 5 and 5, right?
That's in adult services only. Yeah, that's okay. Only in adult services.
So you see, this is why we need more full information. But I heard something that made me think that one unit was missing 50% of their people. Is that, did I extrapolate that wrong, or is that correct?
I can get that information, but
so my point is that where these vacancies fall, it's not, they're not felt just across the whole organization, although they certainly are. But if we have, 70% vacancy in one place and 10% in another, that might tell us, help us prioritize which vacancies we're going to try to fill first. I don't know how you prioritize that. Maybe it's by the length of time it's been vacant. I have no idea. That would be good to know. Certainly, if I were trying to figure out what vacancies to work on first, I would want to know what departments or what classifications are the most stressed, because I'm assuming that we're not asking if you could put the list to, we're not asking a building maintenance person to fill in for a librarian. So we're asking librarians to fill in for librarians. So how does that look for that department? So I would really, for me to feel like I really understood what was going on, I need some external benchmarking. I would also want to see, on a more fine-grained level, how is this hitting different departments and different classifications? And then I would want to understand what is the plan? And where are the kind of more intense stress points? It's hard for me to have any thoughts about this because I don't feel like I have all the information I have, all the information I need to really have full insight into what's really going on. And I would like to have that. There is, I think, a sense in the community and that there's stress again in the library, and that employees have been through a really rough couple of years, and that's not really the fault of most of the people in this room, or perhaps any of them, but we're not in a normal situation. We're in a situation where things have been for a long time. So even if this level of vacancies is normal, if we're doing better than other libraries in the area and better than the city of Berkeley, and it's just the way it is, I think we always have to be sensitive to the fact that there's been a lot of change at the library in the last 5 years, and that goes into how people feel about the workload that they have. And I think we always have to have that as a backdrop We're trying to get back to being a normal organization, and I think we have come a long way, and I'm really happy about that. But we're not sort of healed enough for us to not be thinking all the time, how is the situation we're in impact an organization that has had a lot of stress and employees that have had a lot of stress over the last few years. So I appreciate a beginning of a picture of what's going on, and we really like a lot more information, and I'd like to see what is the plan. How are these positions being prioritized? Where are we? Talking about lists and things, I have to say, I'm not super hands-on understanding of how the hiring process works, so I think it could be useful for the board who don't have previous hands-on experience in the library to understand how that works, how are the opportunities made available to people who are already in the library, what is the sequencing, what's the plan? I'd like to see a plan next time. So in addition, I was looking at how this topic was noticed, and it's noticed as current vacancies. So I'm gonna actually make a couple of comments about the director vacancy. That is a vacancy. I don't feel we have failed to provide notice from a Brown Act perspective. It's a vacancy where we have agendized talking about vacancies, and so I'd like to talk a little bit about that. If my memory served me well, and it does not always, so please correct me if I'm wrong, I recall that the only thing we have asked to be done at this time, and we designated Elliot and Danielle and Diane as chair, is to figure out the process for figuring out a process. I do not remember that we actually have agreed on the process. So I feel like we're really, really early. We need a process about what the process is going to be, and then we need to deliver the process. And too much time has gone by for us to still be figuring out what is the process for figuring out the process. And there's no timelines, there's no proposal for the public to respond to. What kind of committees are we going to have? What kind of outreach are we going to do in the community? How are we going to find out what the qualities are that the community wants and that our employees want in a director? What types of panels are we going to have? How open and closed is this process going to be? And I just feel like there's not enough on the table yet. And I don't feel a sense of the urgency that I feel myself. We waited a long time to start the process, and I stand by that. I don't think the library was ready for yet another change, and I am very appreciative of Elliot providing an incredibly steady hand, and also moving the library forward in his position. But a while ago, we made a commitment to move forward the director search, and I don't think we are meeting reasonable expectations of how fast that process would be moving forward. So I am very concerned, and I also, at our next meeting, I want something for us to work on. Those are my comments.
Since it has come up, we can report that I think we did have some sense of process in mind. We were asked to find a search firm to help us with setting up the process and hiring the director. We're in the middle of that process now in the timeline we gave last month. By the 3rd of October, which is tomorrow, we're meant to have made a decision on which of the companies that set RFPs we're going to go with, and at that point, we'll have a definite timeline.
Who's doing that, looking at the firms?
Elliot and Danielle and I.
Okay, have we asked a threshold question about whether a board member can be involved in evaluating?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Okay. And are you going to be bringing one option to us or several?
It's an RFP process, so we bring one to you. Isn't that correct? I mean, that's
the RFP is a formal process, yeah, whereby the city of Berkeley identifies a firm to do business above a certain threshold that's required. So at $25,000, that is an understanding requirement. And
I'm sorry, also, do we have a written opinion on who can participate in that?
Dennis is the fund, now the fund member. What is his position? Contract, I can't remember, it's contracts manager, general services manager, and was the person who I spoke to about this.
So we did not consult the city attorney as I had asked?
I don't remember if I spoke to him.
We cannot make mistakes here. I don't know if we made mistakes. I just don't want to make mistakes.
Yes.
And I just, you know, we have one board member who has got a lot of information and the rest of us have none. And I don't think that is a good way to go. And we need more transparency about each step in the process. What is going on? Who is involved? By what authority? And We need an update, and we need action items every meeting.
So during, if I move the mayor's comment about the RFP question, when we're in the midst of an RFP, we cannot share information outside of the group publicly about the assessment of the individual specific organization.
I understand that, so but we would want to know where we are in the process.
Sure.
And that's not on the agenda. And I feel like I do not have equal information on something important. I'm not getting the same information at the same time. And I'm not sure that's allowed. I'm not sure that one board member is, and I'm not, it's not a personal critique. This is, I understand that you have made some inquiries, but I am not sure that it is correct that one board member gets different information at a different time. That's why we have agendas and the Brown Act, is so that everyone, the public and the board members, get the same information at the same time. So
I can hear your frustration, Sophie, and it is frustrating because of the RFP process, which says that we have to evaluate any of the firms that have.
No, I understand the RFP process and we have to go through it. But I want to make sure that the process that we're actually going through is not a process we're going to have to throw away. And it seems to me that getting an opinion from our legal counsel is the way to do that. We have had problems in the past with hiring an executive director, and I don't want another problem. And so we need more information as a board, the kind of information we can get, and we need every step of the way. We need our legal counsel to be involved every decision we make, we need to make sure it is by the book. And the only lawyers that we can avail ourselves of are the city attorney's office. That is who gives us legal opinion. So I'm concerned if they're not involved, very integrally involved in how we're going about this. And we do also have the backup of, we're lucky, we're not standalone. We have a personnel department. We have a clerk at the city. And we need to avail ourselves of those resources and not kind of do these things in a siloed manner. We have a lot of resources at the city that can help us. And I really think we need to be using them.
No, I think as soon as we can do that, we will do that. But, you know, the process of evaluating the RFPs is not an open process, but we're not making any decisions about how we're going to do a process to get the director. We're just hiring a firm to help us do that.
I understand, but the selection of the firm is also an important milestone in this process.
That's true, but because of the RFP process, you can't open it up to everybody.
I think you're misunderstanding what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for the RFP process to be done publicly. I think I've made my points, and I'd rather not sort of try to make them again. I will speak to the city attorney himself, and if I can get comfortable that we are following the appropriate process, then fine. I just thought we had consulted with the city attorney previously. I did ask that question at a previous meeting. I did ask this very specific question.
Jean, you were having a
surprise by the answer.
I have three things I think I need to say. One, thank you, Danielle, for your presentation. I think Trustee Hahn's request for comparison may be helpful because as I see the Bay Area, all libraries have been experiencing a tremendous amount of change, transition, and flux. San Francisco has a new executive director, director of library. Oakland has a new director. One in Contra Costa County, I can't, was it Brentwood or Antioch? I'm at a loss. At any rate, my point is, in the Bay Area, I think the two primary, Oakland and San Francisco and Berkeley, all have new, Berkeley will have new leadership. I know that San Francisco has been through a lot of change. So when we look at comparison, what are we comparing? How large is the library? How large is the staff? And what is the average turnover we can expect in any library? Also, I think we need to acknowledge Berkeley has had a number of I'm not going to dismiss her. I think we've had a number of long time staff who've been here, what, 15, 20, 30 some years, maybe longer, who are leaving. And I think, and I could be wrong at it, but I think HR, and I think I heard this from city manager say recently, Berkeley has had a large number of people retiring throughout the city in a number of departments. So I think that's another issue that we have at the library. I think we need to acknowledge that. And in your next presentation, it would be helpful to look at San Francisco and Oakland since they have new leadership as well. The discussion around executive search, at this point, I'm ambivalent about discussing it here because for the length of that discussion, I feel, this is a feeling, that we would be in violation of the Brown Act to discuss that in detail now because it's not on the agenda. The kind of discussion and issues that you are bringing forth, all board members should be present, it should be agendized, and it should be a general discussion around how we proceed. And all of your concerns should be lifted up at that time. So technically, I feel that this kind of discussion might be a violation of the Brown Act because something that important to go for this length of time should be on the agenda. So I think it would be wise, one, all board members should be present for that kind of discussion, question, concern, information, process. That's my concern. Second, I think we need to have the HR person present from the city when we have that kind of discussion because, is it LaTanya? I think she has, one, the experience and the expertise. She did a presentation here, what was it, 3-4 months ago? I've forgotten. Anyway, I think she has the experience, the guidance, and the kind of roadmap and benchmarking to help us. The city attorney, I agree with you to a point, but this is an HR executive recruitment. I think she needs to hear our concerns from the full board and then work in collaboration with our HR analyst and acting director. I think that's the way it normally goes. So Elliot, I would defer to you to be in consultation with her, but I think she needs to be present so the full board can lift up your concerns. I share a number of them, but I just think they all need to be heard at the same time as the agenda. And maybe we don't have too many things on the agenda for that kind of discussion. So we can all get it out and she can make notes and so forth and proceed. The other thing I have a number of concerns about, and that is our expectations. We can't expect, even when we hire a new exec, there will always be time. People leave, they come. People get sick, people are on leave, weeks of absence, and people find new job opportunities. And I think I've shared this in the past, often for people to grow, they need to go. Sometimes you need a new environment, a new experience. That's just a reality of life. So I think we don't need to always frame it as a negative. I think staff morale is improving. I don't think it is what it was. I think it is improving, so I think we need to keep things in context. But I would urge us, if we're going to discuss executive recruitment, that all board members be present. Lastly, I think since we are a small board of 5, I share your concern deeply that even our chair should not be the only one looking at the process. I think since we are a small board, that we could all be a part of that. Because we all come from a different perspective, and that perspective should be helpful. In terms of looking at a recruitment firm, that's why I hold to what do we need to continue to do that we haven't done that Moss Adams recommended. Because some of that work that we need to do as a board will help us as we look at executive recruitment firms. They're going to ask us some questions, And if we are not prepared to answer those questions, then, you know, they can't get in our heads unless we've done our homework. So we really need to do that. And I think Moss Adams shared that with us at our last session at the West Library. I think they were very clear, and we need to revisit what those things were and are that we need to do. And we need to spend time to discuss what do we expect of an executive firm, what are we looking for, and what are the deliverables that we want them to provide. And if we can't answer those questions, we're wasting their time. And a good executive firm will pick up very quickly and just move on and say, you know, these folks really aren't ready, you know, they're not for us. So I think we need to work as a board, as a board committee, since we are a small group of five. I think it would be helpful for the beginning, but I think we need to discuss this as an agenda item with a lot of time and not other things.
I think that's the whole point of the next
meeting. But I think, you know, to have that kind of discussion in detail tonight, it is not on the agenda. And that should be on the agenda. I hold to that. And I hope this doesn't occur again.
We will. I want to go back to the vacancies. It'd be helpful to know how long some of these things been standing open to. I mean, I'm thrilled. I was thrilled when I got the staff newsletter today that the two children's librarians have been hired. And there was also a reference librarian in there, so three of those. But I know one of those was for North, and was that position has been vacant for nearly 2 years. So I'm hoping that we can have some sense of that with a sort of timeline of, now that we have lists prepared, what can we imagine those terms of vacancies to be? Not that it would be exact, oh, you know, it's only going to be 3 months, but it seems to me keep having vacancies for 2 years for public desk service people is too long. Puts too much of a burden on the rest of the staff who are trying to fill in for those vacancies. So I would like to know something about those times, the time of vacancies. All right, anything else for Danielle? Agenda building. It sounds like next month is going to be
Executive search month. Questions, concerns, and board members.
Right. And beginning of the process.
And what we need to do follow up with Moss Adams.
I would like us to have in writing a sketch. And I highly recommend that it's a draft all over it, of a sort of a timeline and stations of the cross for getting to and they're making to the director higher. And they're making things that have to be run in parallel, right? It's not it's not all that you have to we can only do one thing at a time, and you know, until there's some where you can't do this until that happens. But there's others that I think we could be doing in tandem, and I think we should be doing that. Certainly, getting public input and getting input in general about qualities for our next director is something we could already be doing. A firm that we hire may wish to also do it their own way, but we can listen to the community and to employees, and we can also have some idea going in.
Each of the firms has a timeline, and they're all pretty close in time to each other and mm-hmm. with very specific steps listed. So I think we'll be in good hands.
So I would also like a opinion on this question.
So I can request that. Obviously, I can't.
It may not be able to be shared publicly.
But it may not be able to be shared publicly, and I can't direct the work of the results in terms of time, but I can convey the interest that they'd like it, the board would like this by the day of the next public meeting.
I would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not clear, Tessie, what your expectations are in terms of public input at this moment in time. I guess my question is, because usually that's something that an executive search firm does as part of the process of executive recruitment, in terms of key informants of the community, you're going to have a public hearing, and there's also a social aspect to it. There are many components to that community input.
Yes.
Many components to that. So I think we need to be clear which components we want.
That's why I'm suggesting that they actually release a proposed something for us to respond to.
That's what they will do.
I was using that as an example. I wasn't recommending it.
They have listed the many contingencies and many ways to come to those decisions. So I think we'll get excellent help.
But it's also helpful to say what you want. They will construct it.
It is a little bit circular.
So you need to be clear about what you want.
Well, maybe that's a conversation.
Yeah, we need to have that conversation.
It seems to me that there are some conversations that we could be having, and we should be moving forward whenever we can. And it's just, we don't want to have like sort of these long silent gaps where you may be working hard, but it's completely invisible to us, and it's invisible to the community and invisible to the employees.
So is it for our next meeting, would you check and see if Latonya could be present?
Because
I think that would be extremely helpful, and it may be a catalyst to help us move, because she may be able to suggest, I would suggest at this point, you do 1, 2, 3. Because I share Sophie's concern about seeing movement. If we don't see, if we don't hear, we don't know. And then that raises anxiety.
And I think Danielle has just amply shown us how little time she has. 30% of her time is devoted to recruitment, and she's got 28 positions to fill, and she's supposed to be running this. And I think that the amount, and Angie doesn't have her second person, so she's, her department is running 50% staffing as well. So, you know, that's why I'm sort of saying, like, we do have extra capacity in that the city will help us. And I don't know how many people there are in the personnel department, or, you know, I think it looks like there's some skepticism. I'd be happy to try and help get that help. But, I mean, I think she's just demonstrated that her capacity is really overburdened. And so I just want to make sure that we are, you know, amply supported in getting
it. May I make one suggestion or clarification? Would you mind if Elliot were to check with legal counsel for their
support? No, not at all. I mean, there's kind of
no
formal way that happens.
The reason why I ask that is because if it's possible, I think it would be desired not only to have Latonya here, but legal counsel as well. If we're going to do it, it works better if you have people who hear it up front from the beginning, rather than come in at various points, particularly legal counsel and HR.
They have expressed their willingness to address it.
Good. All right. Okay.
All right. Anything else for the agenda?
That's all.
You're telling me. Anything else for the good of the order? The meeting is adjourned.